Welcome to the end year extravaganza of 8-Bit Geek. Today we're doing our top five movies of 2021. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
All right, and this time we'll go me, we'll go Doug, and then we'll go Kev, okay? Okay, so we'll jump right into it, movies. There wasn't a ton of them, so I am pretty sure that all of our lists are going to be all over the place. If I had to take a guess,
I realized I looked up because I was like, fuck, what movies came out this year?
Yeah.
And then I was like, man, I haven't seen shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't been to a theater. I haven't even stuff that's on people's Plex and whatnot. Like, I was like, I just haven't watched it yet. Stuff on fucking Disney Plus and whatnot now that I just have not watched. TV shows are the way that I'm going to want. I've been doing media lately. I just have like movies have just not happened for me. So my top five movies might be the only movies I fucking watch this year, aside from like the ones we watched during Horror Fest.
Yeah. Which may be on his list.
No, although, dude, Colorado Space was very fucking close. That movie fucking ruled. Mm-hmm. That movie was so good.
That was a good movie.
Okay, so number five for me is going to be Ghostbusters Afterlife. And it hit me so hard with the feels, nostalgia, and then of course the story itself. They did a really good job of telling a new way of and bringing new people into the Ghostbusters universe while still keeping the feeling of what Ghostbusters is and was. So they did such a great job. And then the ending fucking I just melted and I cried like a baby. And I can't say enough good things. Some people will knock it and be like, oh, it's too nostalgic. But I was like, fuck it. Like, that's what this needed. Yep. Y'all bitched about the 2016 Ghostbusters reboot, which, yes, was terrible. But then all of a sudden they give you what you want and you still bitch. So I don't know what you fucking people want. But it's for me, it's this, and I'm so excited. The end credit scene, shows you kind of where it's going, after this, and it gives Ernie, the credit he deserves as a full-fledged character, that always deserved credit that he never seemed to get. So, I love the film. Two big thumbs up. So, Doug.
My number five is one we watched in October. It's not a Horror Fest movie, I promise. But it's,
yeah, liar.
It was the new Candyman. The Candyman movie that came out this year. That movie fucking ruled.
Yes, it did. It did.
That movie was...
We watched that all together.
Yes, that movie, it was... like a great spiritual successor to the original. It tied to the original beautifully because we watched the original too, and it was like, man, this movie is just okay. Like, this is just okay. And this one like took all the really good aspects of the first one and then told a really good story while connecting it back, kind of ignoring the other Candyman sequels. But like, yeah, that was a good fucking movie. It was really good. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Kev, what's your number five?
My number five is a movie that came straight to HBO Max this year, which we got lucky with that because I really didn't want to go to the theater to see this. But The Suicide Squad, James Gunn.
Oh, I forgot about that film.
I know. That's like going through this. I had a harder time going with the movies because I had to remember what I saw this year as well. Like,
yeah, no joke, man.
And The Suicide Squad, this was a fun movie. However, if I could have changed one thing, and I think at least Doug would agree with me on it, King Shark should have been voiced by Ron Funches.
Yes, yes. Ron Funches' King Shark on Harley Quinn is fucking just so good.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, as much as you made me watch or you made me check out Yellowstone and What We Do in the Shadows, I would like to do the same to you about about Harley Quinn. It is a funny fucking show.
What is that on? What's that on?
It's on HBO Max.
Oh, is it? Okay. HBO Max.
All right. I will make time for it. I will watch it.
You will laugh. I guarantee goddamn
it. And if I don't, I'll blame you.
Where's my goddamn electric car, Bruce? Yeah, it's Alan Tudyk as the Joker, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
This is so good.
Yeah.
Dude, yes. Tony Hale as Mr. or Dr. Psycho or whatever. My God. It's so fucking good. Or, no, not Tony Hale.
Yeah, not. Oh, yeah, Tony Hale, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Tony Hale also does the Riddler too, doesn't he?
No, that's the what's his name? Jim Rash.
Oh, it's Jim Rash. That's right.
Jim Rash does Community. The Riddler.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Oh man, the Bane in this show, he talks like
yeah,
and they constantly make fun of him. Like he is like the punching bag of the of the Legion of Doom. Like they just fucking shit on him. it's so funny.
Good show, man. But Suicide Squad was amazing. Oh. James Gunn gave it the Guardians of the Galaxy touch, I guess, and really lightened up the comedy and everything, up the soundtrack, you know, getting people like John Cena's character was a Captain Liberty or whatever, was Peacemaker. I keep saying Captain Liberty. Yeah, Peacemaker, you know, getting him in there. Idris Elba, Bloodsport, you know, getting Margot Robbie as coming back as Harley. It was a good combination of people. It was fun. I didn't think much past it. Like, I don't think there's going to be, I couldn't see anything after that, but it was just a fun movie. And it was what Suicide Squad should have been in the first place, I guess. And like, it was fun for what it was worth. And once again, it was James Gunn using James Gunn's cast. So you got a lot of people that were already in Guardians of the Galaxy already, such as Sylvester Stallone, you know, and
his brother.
Yeah. His brother in it. Yeah. Yep. Was it
Weasel?
Yeah.
He did Weasel, and then he also was Calendar Man at the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was fun, but, you know, once again, it made the top five.
My number four is going to be a movie that just came out to theaters, and it was very polarizing as far as what people thought of it. And, of course, I'm talking about The Matrix Resurrection. And I watched it with Colin a few nights ago. It's still fresh on the mind. And The Matrix has a way of making you think about it well after you watch it, and it stays with you. And that has been the way it has been for the first three movies, and it doesn't stop with this one because I'm still thinking about it. And there was a ton of aspects that I really loved about the film. There was a few things that I didn't enjoy about it. But for the most part, it captures the essence of The Matrix, and it continues the legacy. It the world building is really great. And I tell you what, Neil Patrick Harris, fucking amazing. Like, I love that dude anyways, and he deserves so many more roles than he gets because he's such a good actor, and he absolutely kills it in this film. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think, like, I was just thinking he would have this, like, tiny cameo of, like, he's just the therapist, you know, that you see in the trailers, and then it opens up and you see what role he plays, and it's fucking brilliant, so... I really enjoyed the movie. I think everybody should give it a shot. And if you don't like it like I did, well, then you're stupid and your face is stupid.
Wow.
Sorry.
I just remember the people complaining about it. Like, or at least the complaints I've seen about it were people that just were too dumb to enjoy the plot or too dumb to understand the plot or was just like, well, the action was kind of weak. And it's like, it's The Matrix, man.
Oh, my God. They simplified the story. Like, everything from the second and third that everyone had complaints for, they were like, oh, my God, what are we versa-ving and all this other shit? Yeah. Like, they simplified it so much in this film, and people still couldn't get it. And they were just like, I was just like, all right, people just are dumb. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, if you can't figure out this plot, like, you're just dumb at this point. So we're so, like, I don't know, maybe people are being force-fed so many Marvel films that it's just dumbing down everyone.
Tell me what's going on.
Movies are supposed to make you think sometimes, and they're you know, when they do that, it's really wonderful when they can leave you thinking about what's happening and what's going on, and it unlocks our imagination even more, and you want to see more. I really enjoyed it. So, anyways, Doug, watch the film, please.
Okay.
So, I'd be interested in seeing your thoughts. I know, Kev, you've seen it. We haven't really talked about it, so.
Yeah, I was waiting for all of us, I guess, and then we'll talk about that next Thursday.
Okay, so that was my number four, and then Doug, what's your number four?
My number four is also Suicide Squad.
Very nice.
Yep. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun movie. And it's fun because, you know, the trailers and stuff were like, look at all these characters that are in this movie. Yeah. And then the movie starts and within the first 5 minutes, they're all fucking dead. Like, yeah. Oh, well, Pete Davidson's in this movie. No, he's not.
He dead. Yeah.
He gone.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, same thing with what's his face?
I can't remember his name, but I know who exactly you're talking about. He has like blonde hair in this.
No, but yeah, him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all these people just did. No, I was thinking of, oh my God. It's like James Gunn's best friend. He's in like all of his projects. What is his fucking name?
Lloyd Kaufman.
No.
But he is, does make a cameo. He gets his Lloyd Kaufman cameo in this.
No, it's, oh my God, he was in Serenity and Firefly, and he was also in Guardians, and he was in Slither. What is his fucking name?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The original should have been Drake. Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion. Yeah. We again like Nathan Fillion's in this. No, he's not.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Was it Detachable Man or something like that?
Yeah, the Detachable Kid or whatever.
Yeah. DTK. Yeah. Yeah.
But very good. I just remember there's a part, thinking of King Shark, the part where he's in like the aquarium and it's like, oh, cute. And then he starts getting attacked. I just remember being like, no.
Yeah.
No. Oh, very good. Very good.
Agreed. Kev?
My number four is a Marvel movie, and that is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Absolutely loved it. Probably up there with one of my favorite MCU movies as far as fighting goes. It's just
so good.
Don't you mean Shang-Chi?
Yeah. So you changed it from Shang to Sean.
That was your hiding?
Yeah. I was a kid. I've watched this multiple times at this point, especially now that it's on demand. And man, that scaffolding fight scene was so cool to watch. The cameo midway through that ends up being like a part of the movie, I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it yet, was great. And I loved how they kind of like explained Mandarin and kind of made fun of it because Mandarin is such a stupid name. And I like how they kind of brought back like plots from like Iron Man 3. You know, to kind of explain things. But man, yeah, great movie, great acting. I'm looking forward to seeing more of the Shang-Chi universe, but yeah, I loved it. It was a really good movie, and that was one of the first movies I did go back into the theater to see, and I would say it was worth it. I did go on like a Saturday morning or something, like to avoid humans, but man, it was good to see a Marvel movie in the theater again, and this one was the right one to come back to.
My number three is going to be a movie that you both certainly have not seen. I'm fairly certain, but it was a Netflix animated movie and it captured the heart, the mind, and the soul. It will make you laugh. It will make you love. It won't, maybe it'll do all those things. It's The Mitchells versus the Machines. Has anyone watched this movie? Have you guys watched it?
No, I've not even heard of it.
Oh my God. It is so fucking funny. And it deserved, when I was watching, I was like, oh my God, this deserved to be like a in the theater. I don't know why this is not in the theater. It is so good. It is one of the funniest animated films that I've seen in some time. And it comes from, of course, Phil Lord and
Chris Miller.
Chris Miller, yeah. and I think it's their production company. And it was, God, it was something to behold. And it reminded me, I know you guys don't watch this show, but it reminded me, the dad reminded me off of a podcast called Dungeons and Daddies. And the dad, I was just like, oh my God, this is like they ripped off this fucking character. But it might just be the fact that it's all dads are that way. But yeah, I highly recommend. Danny McBride is in it. Alex Hirsch, Maya Rudolph, Eric Andre. The list goes on and on.
Apparently Griffin McElroy at some point. I don't really know how or who or what he plays in that movie, but apparently one of the McElroy brothers is in it.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, I would say that it's worth a watch. It's so fucking funny. It's so fucking funny. All right, yeah, so that's my number three. Doug?
My number three is also Shang-Chi. Along with Kev. Yep. It was a great like introduction movie to a new superhero in the MCU. Sometimes those kind of feel lackluster. And I didn't see Eternals, but I heard Eternals was just kind of
same.
But dude, this one, yeah, the homage to the old Kung Fu movies and stuff was awesome. And just all the different styles that they kind of I don't want to say mimicked, but again, like paid homage to, especially like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, like the very beginning. And then a lot of like Jackie Chan sort of stuff and Bruce Lee stuff later on. Dude, yeah, the fight choreography in this movie was top fucking notch. It was so good.
Did you watch the behind the scenes?
It made Iron Fist look like just like amateur hour with the way that the fight choreography was shot and put together. Like that show like was not good to begin with, but this show makes that shit just look like fucking terrible.
Yeah,
awesome. Gary, you about to ask something?
I was just gonna ask if you watched the behind the scenes.
They've had a lot of the guys from that on Corridor with the Stuntman React.
Yeah, they did the making of on Disney Plus. It's worth a watch, and they go through and talk about the inspirations behind the fight scenes. And Jackie Chan is definitely one of the huge inspirations behind everything.
Yeah, especially like that bus sequence, like when he like takes the jacket and is using the jacket to fight with, and like wrap their arms in, and then like throws it on, and then the punch that he gets, that one like. That short punch is like a Bruce Lee moment, like a homage to Fist of the Dragon or whatever. Like, you know, it was sick. The movie fucking ruled. It was really good. And like Kev said, that one cameo that you're like, oh my God, this fucker. Mm-hmm. And then he's like the comic relief of the entire movie. Well, the rest of the movie was so fucking good.
So I'm looking up this, and it turns out former members of Jackie Chan's stunt team were involved with this too. So that makes, and they said it specifically with the scene you just said, with the jacket scene and with the bus scene, like a lot of that was heavily influenced, but like former members of his stunt team are part of that, which is huge because Jackie Chan's stunt team is like one of the best. That's like saying like someone from Tom Savini's like school, you know, as far as like horror stuff goes. I mean, that's like a high prestige to be coming from. So yeah, I'm glad that they actually like used people. And I mean, I'm sure they probably tried to get Jackie Chan involved in some way, but you know, Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan, go to Jackie Chan.
Right.
All right, and what do we got? Kev, did you give your number three?
Yeah.
My number three is going to be, well, it is Candyman. You know, for a lot of the same reasons that Doug was saying before, like, we had such a fun time watching that, but yeah, man, such a great spiritual sequel of sorts, great continuation, right to the, I love the killings in this movie because they were more like they didn't show them directly. It was always some kind of shot that would be like in the background. So you'd have to kind of pay attention, or like a lot of the killing is implied in a way. I'm not implied, but I mean, it really happened. But I mean, the way it happens, it kind of leaves you up to thinking about how it happens. You know, you just hear the screams, or you just hear like, and then you get to see the after effect. Like, I like that, that filming method was really cool, and it was really interesting. It was an interesting take on this movie. And yeah, man, the way they finished it was so good.
The one shot of the woman from like outside her apartment, and the camera pulls away, and you watch her get like thrown around her apartment.
Yeah.
By an invisible force, and like the blood splattering everywhere. But like, as the camera's pulling farther and farther and farther and farther and farther away, so you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You see it? You can barely see it as it's happening, but it's like, Jesus Christ.
Or the art studio, and like everything's happening like by the mirror or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so cool. Yeah, yeah, man. Such a great, yeah, I love that movie. It was good.
Okay. My number two is going to be a movie called Coda. And that movie is on Apple TV Plus, and that film is winning awards across the board. So it's about a deaf family, and it follows the story of Ruby, who is the only one who can hear in the family. She's 17, and she works on a fishing boat with her parents before. She goes to school every morning, and she loves to sing, but her parents, of course, like, are not into it. So she's trying to follow her dreams while also deal with the family needing her to be the interpreter. And so it follows this family, and they wouldn't make the film without a deaf family. Like, they wanted to, producers wanted to hire someone who could hear, and the main one, the mother, who I didn't even know, but she's like huge, like she's got some weight behind her as far as the movies she's been in and stuff. That's Marley Matlin, and she's actually been an award-winning actress through her entire career. She's been in a ton of stuff, and she's completely deaf, and they were like, oh, we'll just get somebody who can sign for the husband and the son, and she was like, no, like, I'm not going to be in this movie if you guys do this. And she like demanded the entire family be deaf, of course, except for Ruby. But yeah, man, this film is something special, and I talked about it when I saw it, and I absolutely love it. And so it has Amelia Jones in it, who is also in Lock and Key. If you enjoy that one, she's been in a few movies, but this one definitely is, I would say, is like a breakout role. But yeah, I highly recommend it. It is absolutely fantastic. Doug?
My number two, is another movie, that we watched together this year. A lot of us did. I think it came out technically last year. And I'm not really sure where it came out to, cause it's made by Josh Rubin from College Humor and like Dropout TV. He's done a couple of short, like indie movies that are the two that I've seen of his, they've both been like horror films. But this one is based on a video game. And it's called Werewolves Within.
Oh yeah. 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 I'm so glad you got good me to stuff. Watch that.
That movie was so fucking funny. It was so good. And a great cast. Just a lot of fun. And I'm so very worth it. Like, definitely one that like, I feel like a lot of people need to see. Like, it is a lot of fun. It is great. It's a remote mountain town. A blizzard comes through and knocks out power, and people start getting picked off by like a werewolf. Maybe they don't know. and just everyone trying to you know, it's the game is, I think it's called Werewolves Within, and it's like, you know, someone's the werewolf essentially, right? And everyone has their roles, and you have to figure out who the werewolf is. That's essentially what the movie is. So it's funny, just all these people like turning on each other and trying to kill each other. It's so silly. A lot of fun. Highly recommend. Again, it was one of the movies I watched this year that just, I cannot speak highly enough of it. It was so fucking fun.
Awesome. Gav, what you got in your number two slot?
My number two is, I think it was your number five or number four, but Ghostbusters Afterlife. Mm. Man, absolutely fucking love this movie. Did not expect to. Went in this movie with super low expectations, thinking it was another cash-in. And man, Reitman's son did such a good job of like kind of capturing that Ghostbusters vibe, like from the music, from the scene transitions. Like, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that just felt like a Ghostbusters movie, and man, it was fantastic. It was a fun ride. Paul Rudd was great. I mean, like, pretty much everyone in the role was great. I really liked McKenna Grace as Phoebe Spangler. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just like a little nerd girl that was like putting everything together. Like, she, like, I didn't care for Finn. Finn Wolfhard is, you know, he played Finn Wolfhard, I guess. I mean, he kind of plays himself at this point. But, you know, like, the ending was beautiful. The after credits definitely sit through. There's also a scene they threw in at the very end that was beautiful. It was a deleted scene from the original Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, Harold Ramis meets Annie Potts. And like, it was like their first meeting, and it makes the events that happen in the movie even more sweet and more bittersweet then, I guess. But yeah, beautiful movie. Found out that it's coming out on demand or whatever on January 4th. So it's a couple weeks away. So if you haven't seen it yet, make sure
a couple of days, bud. Yeah. January 4th.
Fuck.
Like next week, bud.
God damn it.
Where is it going on demand?
It just says, so I'm sure it'll be at the store, shortly.
I would assume it's going to be
like Paramount or some shit.
I don't know. It's a Sony movie, so they have their own Sony streaming service. And
do they really?
What
is it called?
Sony Plus.
It's called
Sony Plus.
It's called Sony Bravia Core. But here's the thing. It's only available on Sony TVs.
That is the most Sony thing ever.
But I will say this. It has the highest streaming rate of all the services. Like, it actually, you have to have a broadband connection because of the fact that they are streaming at a minimum of 65 megabytes per second. And so that way you get a true 4K IMAX experience while watching it. I know this because I bought a Sony TV in the last few months, and their movies are the best looking movies on streaming, hands down.
I mean, it's on a legit TV too. That's why you got to give that. How much is the service?
They give it to you for free for 2 years, and then they also give you like movie credits and stuff like that. So,
oh, legit.
Yeah. But let me look up to see where it's going here. Let's see. Of course it doesn't. Of course it, I just can't get like an easy answer, right? Have you found that lately? Like lately it's just like, it's like all you want to do is Google something, but everything is convoluted now. And like, it's so much crap. Like you can't even get a simple answer anymore.
It's a whole website that makes you go through like a 30 slideshow to get a yes or no answer.
Right? And you're just like, okay, come on. Can we please just fuck it? I can't even get this. I don't even know. Fuck it. Okay. Reach number one spot where, I mean, we can all three of us, I assume, can just say our movie here. It's got to be the same, right?
Oh, yeah.
On the count of three, one, two, three. Spider-Man.
Eternals. What? Yeah, of course, Spider-Man.
Doug, is that also your number one?
Yeah, duh. I mean, duh.
Don't you pull that bullshit on us, Doug.
Yeah, we've gone through and did a really spoilerific review of this film on last week's episode of Thirsty Thursday. So make sure you check that out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for God, it was, how could it not be? It was an absolute fantastic ride.
One of the best MCU movies, one of the best Spider-Man movies. I mean, dude, it was awesome. And I'm so excited to see where it goes from here. Cause mm-hmm. I think we said this last week. It felt like the conclusion of the origin story for Spider-Man. Like everything that's happened to him so far has literally just been building up to this movie. And so like anything that happens after is actually Spider-Man's movies. And like all this was just like preamble. Let's just introduce you to the character in three movies. That way we can now actually do the character in our next three movies or whatever. So it was awesome.
Yeah. Hollywood Reporter posted yesterday that Spider-Man No Way Home becomes Sony's top grossing pick of all time at US box office.
Yeah, no shit. I cannot imagine that Sony's looking at this and like not going like one, y'all can't do this by yourselves. Like you have to know that now, like three movies deep with this character, you have to fucking know. Mm-hmm. Like you just look at Venom and look at what like Morbius or Mobius or whatever the fuck it's called. Like we know it's not going to do as well. Like, so you have to be able to look at this and go like, okay, teaming with Marvel for this and putting him in the MCU was the smartest fucking choice we've ever fucking made.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed.
They're sitting at $405.5 million in domestic ticket sales. It just beat Jumanji. Welcome to the Jungle, the first Jumanji, which is, I'm surprised it did that much, to be honest. Jumanji did. But Jumanji was fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our top five of movies. We've done video games, movies, and television shows. Is that it this week? Are we calling it a vacation after this? Are we going on vacation for a couple days?
I think so.
All right.
8-bit vacation.
So you won't get any episodes for Thursday and Friday. We want you to go ahead and just relax, enjoy the end of the year. We hope that 2021 brought you lots of joy, lots of happiness, and we're so happy to be a part of that. Thank you to everybody who came back to listen to us. I know that we took a year off and then we came back this year. So we do appreciate everyone who's stuck with us. 2021 was a rough one. 2022 is also going to be a rough one.
Oh yeah, boy.
But we're here to hopefully give you some laughs and distract you a little bit every day. So we do appreciate it. And we love everybody that does listen.
Mm-hmm.
So, until 2022, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.